Wine making, the steps it takes. Making wine is something that you can and should be doing. If you enjoy wines, you'll enjoy making them yourself. Accomplishing this process is one that will please anyone who has a bit of creative energy and anyone that wants to really experience the process. The first step of making wine is to get the flavor of the fruit from within the fruit into your wine. You can use grapes or many other types of fruit, depending on what you would like the wine to taste like. To extract the flavor, most commonly, the fruit is pressed. Most fruits, besides that of a citrus fruit, can be pitted, if necessary, and pressed. But, there are other ways to get the fruit from the wine as well. For example, another option would be to use cold maceration. To do this, the fruit is first crushed and chopped. Then it is added to its fermentation vessel, and all of the ingredients from the recipe that will be used, such as the sugar and waters, will be added. It must then be set aside for 8 hours. Once pectin enzyme has been added and mixed well, the wine must be refrigerated for up to 2 days, no less than 1. When it is brought up to room temperature, more ingredients are added and stirred in before the yeast is added. There are other ways that the fruit that you plan to use in your winemaking can have the fruit's flavor extracted, including crushing, boiling, chopping and cutting. Pressing and even soaking the fruit can be used as well. When you select a method, you will want to ensure that your recipe is adjusted for that specific method. Some recipes are designed to work with a certain method of extraction to gain the type of flavor that is necessary. Wine making, your first fermentation. During the process of making wine, you will need to ferment the wine several times. With each step, there is a need to examine the wine and to take the appropriate action. No matter what type of recipe, wine making, the sediments and racking. Now that your wine is well on its way through the second fermentation, you'll have the benefit of being able to sit back and wait. This step in the process is no doubt going to be a long one, and you'll be tempted to taste and make changes, but remember that the final flavor hasn't been decided yet. At this point, your wine is in a secondary vessel and is fermenting. After several weeks, though, it's time for you to give it some help. You'll need to siphon the wine off of the sediments that will regularly deposit in the wine. Every month or so during the few months, you'll need to pay close attention to your wine's color. By removing the lees or the sediment from the bottom of the wine, you are allowing for the impurities to come out and for nothing but the good stuff to be left inside. To do this, you'll want to use a siphon. Remember that you don't want the air getting into the wine at this point. You should also use a clean and sanitary vessel for the movement. Once you have gotten the wine into the secondary container that it will sit in again, you'll need to reattach the fermentation trap to the bottle's neck. But, that's not all. Although it's tempting not to pay enough attention, you need to. Every 30 days, come back and look at the wine again. If there are deposits that are fresh at the bottle's bottom, you'll need to go through this step yet again. You may need to do this several times, you may only need to do this twice. The length of time that it takes will also determine how often you need to remove these sediments. This is a step that shouldn't be avoided, though. Wine making, your second fermentation cycle. Once you have allowed your wine to ferment for several days, it will be time to take the next step in its making. During this process, you'll be adding in additional ingredients and to skim off the liquid from the pulp that remains. When you go through the winemaking process, this second fermentation period will be critical. Ultimately, you'll want that period to last at least several weeks, and it should be done at a temperature that's at 60 to 65 degrees Fahrenheit, 10 degrees lower than it was. First, get rid of the solids that remain in the winemaking. Pour it through a funnel, then, into the second fermentation vessel that you are using. Ensure that the lees are also placed into the second vessel. But, before you can do this, you may ask, how long should you wait? You should start the transfer into the secondary vessel after the fermentation process has slowed to some degree. Now, after you have transferred the mixture to the secondary vessel, you'll want to attach the appropriate airlock to the vessel. This is called a fermentation trap, and it will fit to the mouth of the bottle you are using. It is important to keep as much of the air contact out of the transfer process as possible, which is no easy task. Your recipe may call for specific instructions on how to do this. Now that you have moved it to the secondary vessel, it again needs time to ferment. While that wine making, the final step. The process of wine making is one that does take a considerable amount of time, there's no doubt about that. But, that doesn't mean that it isn't worth the wait, because it very much so is. Once the wine has been racked or siphoned off to remove all of the sediment from it, it still needs at least 3 months to sit, if not longer, to ferment. Now this time has gone by, it's time to start thinking about bottling the wine. In order for the wine to be moved into its bottles, you do need to wait for the fermentation to stop and for the wine to become clear, which should happen on its own. Once this happens, the next steps are easy. You'll need to siphon off the wine from the vessel it has been fermenting in and place it into the wine bottles you'll be using. Sterilization is important here and isn't something that you should skip or forget about doing. Once this has been done, the bottles need to be corked and completely sealed to keep out air. Now, your wine is still not done and it will take a considerable amount more of time. Once the bottles are filled, place them upright for at least 3 days, but it's better if it is 5. This allows for the proper reaction to happen. After this period, you'll be placing them on their sides to store them. Now, drop the fermentation temperature again. This time, go for 55 degrees. Your white wine needs to sit like this, mostly undisturbed for at least 6 months. Your red wines need a full year for improvement. If the wine isn't what you want it to be, another year or even more can be necessary. While you had to wait a long time, the resulting wine will be wonderful. Self-made wine labels. Brewing homemade wine is a real fun activity. And just as important as the making of wine is, labeling the product is as important. For one, it helps you classify the wine that you have made, so you can bring out that special wine on a special occasion. Secondly, it can make the wine look authentic and very artistic and mature. Showing everyone that you are a perfectionist and that you look at the finer details with a keen eye, wine labeling will also help you in locating the wine. Wine labeling can be fun and informative to the maker as well as the admirer. In order to make it as informative as possible, you should think of a list of simple details of the wine that you have just made. For example, a name for the wine, the date that it was made or manufactured, the history of the wine, a brief description of the process and the ingredients that went into the making of the wine and so on and so forth. The idea is to have the basic information of the wine on the bottle so that the admirer knows what he or she is drinking. It gives a more authentic touch to the whole thing. Now, you can make the labels either by hand or by using cheap and home-based technology like a computer. Making it by hand is not a bad idea, but remember the idea here is to turn on the authentic look and feel. So you can use a computer with a printer, preferably a color printer, a decent graphics application, a pair of scissors and some gum. You can start by making a logo for your own brand of wine and then you can place the text material that contains all the details that we talked about earlier, justified according to your visual taste. This can be repeated for all the bottles of wine that you are planning to make, so that you have a well-stocked collection that looks classy in every sense of the word. Making sure that the final product passes the quality testing of your guests and friends visually, is half the challenge one. Your friends and guests can pick out whatever wine they want to taste and enjoy, without being worried of taking the wrong bottle of wine from the already visually stunning collection of wine bottles in the wine rack. Drinking the right wine is like reading a well-written book. The experience starts with the cover or the label. It then moves on to the contents, so the onus is on you to make sure that your efforts should not stop in getting the taste right, but the bottling and in fact the whole package should deliver a rich experience. Everything about Water of Life, whiskey. What does Water of Life, Ushkabeha, and Ishkabeha Orpheus refers to? Unable to pronounce or articulate these words? Okay, let me give you a more common and easy to say word, whiskey. Yes, all these words signify whiskey. Origin of whiskey dates back to early 14th century in Scotland. However, it is more popular almost throughout the world now. It is believed that taste of whiskey is almost the same as how it was earlier, that is, 14th century. The main reason for maintaining the same taste is because whiskey manufacturers believe in heritage. Due to this, they will go for the extra mile to get the same flavor, as it was centuries back. Can you think of any one occasion without whiskey? Thinking, unable to find out, yes, whiskey has truly become a part of our lives. Go to any restaurant, you will definitely see a signboard saying bar, this way or a bar attached. Take weddings, ceremonies or for that matter, any occasion, you will definitely find whiskey. In weddings, you might have seen both bride and the bridegroom drinking whiskey. Have you ever thought why do they do this? It is to indicate a long-lasting relationship. Do you want to become friends with someone? Simply serve them whiskey. What are the various other uses of whiskey? Let me list out a few. A party at your home or workplace, you serve whiskey to your friends and employees. You had a hard day at your workplace, I'm sure you will take a sip of whiskey to relax yourself. Serve whiskey in combination with ice cubes and tea, an exciting and exhilarating combination. A nickname for this combination is whiskey on the rocks. Whiskey is considered to be a strong drink. When ice cubes are added to it, it helps in taking away some potent substance from it. Few variations of whiskey include Scottish whiskey, wild turkey, Irish whiskey, Welsh whiskey, and Jack Daniels. As whiskey originated in Scotland, Scottish whiskies are more popular throughout the world than any other brands. People in the States prefer Jack Daniels and goes well with Coke. Almost 90% of the restaurants and bars in the United States serve Jack Daniels. Are you planning to buy and take home some whiskey? No need to search for a best store. Go directly to ABC stores and you will get one. However, if you are staying in states like California, go to the nearest grocery or a departmental store to grab one. According to a recent survey, majority of the population drink whiskey and it is a bestseller. There might be different types of alcohol, however, easy to locate and use as only whiskey. Just a sip of whiskey every day will make you feel and look fresh. Scotch, the taste begins here. Ever noticed whenever there is a party or if you hear of a fun experience in a pub, where there is a lot of dance action, the good old Scotch is given the backseat by the young partygoers. It is always the well-known rum or vodka-based cocktails or the plain mocktails or the bartender's special concoctions made spontaneously at the time of the order, that are clear favorites nowadays. People have this notion that only sweet alcoholic drinks can give you that extra energy to go that extra mile or do that extra dance step that can impress that special someone. Well, Scotch-based cocktails can be sweet too. What is being missed out here, is that Scotch can be as important as a cocktail base as rum. How many of you out there know this fact? Partying trends suggest that mixing Scotch with a sweetening additive like sugar or sugar-based syrups to make a cocktail is best left as an unheard-of concept. One fact that everybody who has walked this planet and tasted that strange-tasting nectar from Scotland will agree on, is the unassuming potency of the drink, Scotch. This drink, if taken in tasteful measures, can bring the partygoers and ultimately the party itself to a crescendo that few drinks can match, and remarkably so in a relatively short amount of time. The next best complaint would be that Scotch is best tasted dry. That is, without ice. Ever heard of a drink called Rusty Nail? The making of this drink starts off, is with ice being filled to the brim of the glass. Then half an ounce of Drambuie is added along with 1.5 ounce of Scotch, and finally, as a garnish, a lemon peel twist is added as beautification of the drink and also for the flavoring. This is not to be mistaken for an elderly or a backseat drink, so to speak. This is an alcoholic beverage that is sure to give the young yuppies a reason to start experimenting with Scotch and discover the true spirit of fine drinking. Do not stop there, here are a couple of more reasons to start appreciating the old man's drink. Whiskey sour is a very popular drink that is enjoyed by all the classes and the masses of every generation. The magic ingredients that go into making this popular drink are 2 ounces of Scotch, whiskey, juice squeezed out of half a lemon, 1 small cherry, half a tablespoon of sugar, and finally 1/2 of a slice of lemon. The next drink is designed ideally for the young crowd, who would like to gulp down a drink and get back to the dance floor as fast as possible. This drink is what you would call a quick fix. Use 1 ounce of Scotch whiskey and 3/4 of an ounce of vermouth, which is sweet. You now just stir the contents that have been pre-mixed with ice cubes and then strain this into a cocktail glass. This is simple and is named simply, Rob Roy. A blue-labeled gossip. How would you react to this situation when one of your friends comes to you and say, "Hey buddy, Johnny Walker is discontinuing their costliest brand Blue Label and no one knows why?" People who really know their drink would just ignore the statement as if something really big as that has to happen, there will be a strong reason. Let us find out reasons as to why this brand is as precious as Blue Sapphire. This blend is a rare masterpiece when compared to other whiskies, and it is a bit tough to get hold of a bottle due its value and uniqueness. But whatever is the case, none of this matters if you are a sipper and collector of fine spirits. Sir John Walker's existence of over 200 years marked the birth of this blend. With young malts and grains blended together, this drink becomes a little mellower. Like some older whiskies, this blend was to be reminiscent of the blends in the early 19th century. To identify a masterpiece or a gem, you don't have to compulsorily see it in writing. Similarly, in the case of this blue blend, the label does not come with the age specified. This should not be mistaken for poor quality. There is a reason as to why the age of this product is not specified. One bottle of the brand in question contains over 16 different single malt blends and aged whiskies, and the age of the youngest whiskey added is still a mystery. Now, let us get back to the gossip, i.e., Blue Label being discontinued. This rumor in every way remains a rumor. It can be confirmed in capital, Johnny Walker Blue Label is not going to be discontinued. The green and the red might have enjoyed a huge amount of publicity, but blue should not be mistaken for a slouch. In this lineup of the Walker brand, blue is the costliest of the lot at $200 a bottle. The malts and grains added to this blend takes a long time to mature, making it very easy to be sold out and run out of stock. The Blue Label and its counterparts can always be adjusted according to available stock. Since the process of blending is a continual one, the blenders will enjoy a busy time for a long period, especially if the stock is overabundant. Running out of stock does not happen overnight. The budding and young malts become wise and old and are replaced with new fillings. Scotland will continue to produce rare and fine Scotch, and Johnny Walker will remain to be a part of this wonderful game. You can sit back and relax now, this blend is still right there with us. Bourbon, the early days. There is no doubt that the Scottish were the certified leaders in whiskey making and they produced the best drink on earth, but those were the earlier days, and now these leaders are facing strong competition from the Americans. The American whiskey, also known as bourbon whiskey, was first made in Kentucky, situated in east central U.S. The farmers and the folk of Georgetown in Kentucky were the privileged first to have seen the inaugural days of this beautiful drink. This was first introduced by a Baptist minister named Elijah Craig in the late years of the 18th century. History tells us that Abraham Lincoln's father was actively involved in this process. The secret of this trade was passed to the North Americans by the Europeans who migrated during the late days of the 18th century. This resulted in large-scale production of the bourbon drink. The government passed the law to levy taxes on whiskey and its sales, which resulted in the Whiskey Rebellion in 1791. Tax evasion was the immediate answer for many to this problem, and the best place they found for this act were the Kentucky mountains, where they could hide from the so-called tax collectors. This paved way for Kentucky to become the largest producer and distiller of bourbon, today, producing 80% of the volume in North America. It was in 1758 and after a royal family from France that this drink was branded. The French supported the Americans in their fight for independence from the British, and as a tribute, the newly developed lands in America were written in French. Kentucky lost the status of a separate state and was renamed Kentucky District of Virginia in 1758. The business did not just stay in Kentucky but was expanded. The whiskies were exported to New Orleans down the Ohio River. In 1789, the Mason County, Virginia, was forged by Northeastern and Limestone counties. Blending and brewing Scotch involves a lot of restrictions and regulations. This is the same with bourbon, but comparatively and arguably less. The ingredients include brew to be made. Mandatory from 51% corn. Barley, wheat and rye can be used to blend the product. Proof should read 80 to 160%. This Kentucky Gold is known for its sweet taste and soft texture, which increases with the percentage of corn present. The process of making this involves corn to be distilled in a continual still, and then be filled into casks made of oak for maturing for not less than 2 years. This whiskey is popular today for its taste, which would not have been possible without these regulations. Did you know that there are no distilleries operating in Bourbon County, Kentucky, and is a dry county with no liquor being legally served? American Scotch Whiskey. Once impudently immigrants like the Irish and Scottish people saw it on settling on American soil, they imparted into the country the methods of distilling their native beverage Scotch whiskey. Discovering the untested indigenous materials from the natural habitat of their settlements. They were not accustomed to these fresh finds, which in turn conducted a new approach in giving rise on the evolution of modern Scotch, simply dabbed as whiskey. Nowadays, whenever you chance some kindred between Irish whiskey and Scottish whiskey, and its today American version, you would personify someone more advanced than the connoisseurs and experts. The fuller, stronger and tastes sweeter detected in the whiskey of American is an outcome from deficiency of fume in the drying procedure of granulates that may or may not include corns. There are 6 distinct classes which American whiskey is fractioned in. This is an orchestrate effect of the dissimilar maturating times and well-balanced quantities of granulates used in every last batch of the American version of whiskey. The half-dozen variant of the All-American brewages are the following. Rye Whiskey. Wheat. Tennessee. Bourbon. Blended Whiskey. Corn Whiskey. Rye and Wheat Whiskey. Broadly speaking, rye whiskey constitutes blended products to produce different characters of whiskies. Exclusively, a really diminished destiny of this whiskey is in reality bottled. It should be drawn from at minimum 51% rye appropriate to be viewed as rye whiskey. The extracting and storing considerations match the equivalent essentials every bit like bourbon technique. Largely produced in the provinces of Indiana and Bluegrass State, Kentucky, it is a bit unusual because it has a small hint of bitterness and more compelling taste. Tennessee. There are a couple of deviations between Tennessee and bourbon. They are really intimately kindred. Tennessee must all of the time be filtered by sugar maple wood coal, and may entirely be created in the land of Tennessee, therefore they are identified after the state. Presently there are just two brand name of this whiskey for sale, namely Jack Daniel's and George Dickel. Bourbon. Bourbon whiskey is considered to be acquired exclusively in Kentucky, which equals myth. It has kept up production in several states. Specifications for making bourbon are elementary. It must be produced in the USA, should simply comprise the 51% corn ingredients, and must solely be stored in barrels made from charred oak for a time period not less than 2 years. The flavor in its crude form could not go past 80% alcohol in intensity. Blended or mixed American whiskey. You must not be mixed up in deviations of Scottish whiskey and blended whiskey. In general, American whiskey only bears rye in roughly 20% and bourbon whiskey, an industrial spirit in mass production, accounts for the 80% in the beverage. This brands the merchandise really inexpensive and practically gentler than its American counterparts. Corn. Attributed to the intense success of corn crops harvest across the U.S., it became an evident selection to exploit corn in whiskey distillery. Soon enough, this new formulation became the predecessor bourbon. Since adopted corn is the primary element with almost 80%. The departure between corn whiskey and the original bourbon is the requirements and rule of storage changed. With this type of whiskey, storage is as simple as simply putting it inside an average bottle, fashioning the mandatory charred oak wood casks unnecessary. But as for preferences go, aging it still involves the original bourbon casks or barrels, but it should have been uncharred.